Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. Coach, welcome.
Happy to be back.
So we're talking the day after what is the signature win that you've had here, or one of the signature wins that you've had here, and it was Princeton's 14-13 win over Denver and Coach Bill Tierney. It was quite an event. It was quite a build-up to the event, with the whole part of it involving Coach Tierney, which obviously is the dominant storyline heading into it. But once the game started, it was a game more than it was a story, and it turned out to be just an incredible game. And you know, for my money, it's probably the best game ever played on Sherrod Field.
We were thrilled. I mean, you know, we're obviously very happy with the outcome, and, you know, we were honored to have Coach T come back to 52 Stadium. And, you know, I think everyone in our program and organization are grateful for the work he's done here, and for the legend he's left here, and for all that he did. I mean, it's provided us with this current opportunity. So it was great. And for him to bring back a top nationally ranked program and to play on a nice Tuesday night national televised game, great for both programs.
And let's talk a little bit about the Coach Tierney piece. And I know that you've talked to him a bit. And I talked to him, you know, the day before the game. I talked to him before the game on the field. I talked to him after the game. And I have to admit, he was – I think he was more emotional than I thought he was going to be about coming back to Princeton. It's been 10 years. He's been back a million times. He stayed in contact with the people that are still here that he knows. But I think I underestimated what it would actually mean for him to step onto that field coaching the other team.
Sure. I mean, you know, I got to catch up with him a little bit before the game. It was a lot like any other, you know, head coach interaction pregame, you know, both very focused, kind of enjoying the moment. Not much you can do in warmups as a head coach. You know, you're just kind of hanging and watching your guys get loose. But, you know, watching the broadcast, you know, I had an opportunity to watch Coach T's interview prior to the game, and it is an emotional experience for him. I mean, he coached both the sons here. He accomplished so much here, and he met so many wonderful people here. So I think that brought a heck of a lot of emotion his way, you know, and however difficult that is to deal with.
It was great. I mean, it was great to see him. It's great to have him back. I thought it was a great event when it was suggested, and I thought it played out even better than that. And it was really interesting for him, I think, to come back and see a lot of people. You know, he stayed in touch with a lot of people, Bryce, you know, a lot of people, John McPhee, me, through the years. But there's a lot of other people who are still here that he hasn't talked to and seen as much. And it was just a parade of people who came to see him and shake his hand and give him a hug. And it was really, I thought it was great. And, you know, it was just a reminder, as you said, of what he meant to this program. So, all of that notwithstanding, now you got a game to play, and you have to play against a team that's very good. What are you thinking before the game starts?
Our focus is, as it has been all year, is always about us. We've got to continue to get better, and you know, we've really been hammering our guys just about the process and sticking true to our systems and keep getting better. And you know, unfortunately, in the past handful of games, we haven't been rewarded with W's. So I think it was just nice for us to kind of buckle down. Every bit of it was about us, our game plan, our approach, how we were going to play, what we were going to do. We just needed to put our best 60 minutes forward, and you know, we put close to a full 60 together.
So one of the things I would say is, as you say, you put a full 60 together, is that in the games, in the losses, the three non-league losses were one goal, two goals, and the Ivy League losses, the spreads were a little bigger, but what really hurt you in all of them was the run that the other team went on. This time, Denver put some goals together. They had a four run early, but they didn't take the 20 minute stretch of the game where it was all them. Is that something you could work on? Is that something you could simulate? Or is that something that just has to play out as the game goes along?
A little bit of everything. I mean, you know, we as a coaching staff, you know, and our players did a heck of a job, but in those moments, you know, in those runs, whether they're going for us or against us, and this year they've been against us, you know, that's when we have to do our best coaching, and we've got to put guys in a position to break that run. And we haven't been successful early on in the year. And, you know, we go up two early in the game. They go on a four-goal run. And at that moment, you know, as coaches, we've got to make sure we're putting guys in a position where we can execute in a simple fashion and just get confidence back and get a good look at the cage or get a good stop and, you know, not try to overcomplicate it or grip your stick a little tighter. So I think our guys did a very nice job responding to that run.
So one of the things I liked best about that game was the fact that it was the biggest audience that we're going to have in the regular season. It was the ESPNU game. We had Anish Sharaf, Ryan Boyle, Quinn Kesenick here, so big-time people here broadcasting the game. And our best players really showcase themselves. And as a result, they've gotten a lot of attention. So I've been telling people all the time, all day today and yesterday when everybody was texting me during the game as if I wasn't actually watching the game. Sowers does that all the time. That wasn't Sowers playing out of his mind. That was Sowers doing what Sowers does. And I think it was great that George Bond also had a huge game.
Both of those guys are elite lacrosse players. They're great athletes, and they're very opportunistic, and they did just that. You know, Michael took advantage of his opportunities when he had them, finishing plays himself and creating plays for others. And George is great. We're big George Bonds fans. We always have been. He's an elite athlete. He's got an incredible motor, an incredible work ethic. So it's great that other people are recognizing that as well. We've kind of known it the whole time. We've just got to continue to play better as a program and get these guys on the national stage.
Are there times where you watch what Michael's doing and, you know, I know you're coaching and you're thinking about what's going to happen next and you're trying to plan three moves down the road, but as the game is unfolding, are there times where you sort of morph into a fan and think to yourself, whoa, and like especially – the goal he had where he shot it just under the crossbar, or the feed he had to Robertson to end the third quarter where, you know, as Ryan said on TV, there's beating your defender and there's leaving him on the other side of the cage.
Yeah, it was a really incredible move. I mean, look, the move where he came and finished it under the crossbar himself, short side high, we've seen it a lot in practice. None of this happens by chance. And then in terms of the feed to Phil Robb, those guys have a really nice chemistry, and Michael made a heck of a play behind, you know, on that one-on-one move, and was able, and Ryan had said it on the broadcast, you know, because he had beat his guy so clean on that move, they had to slide to his face, which he's able to really read the defenses, and he does that very well. He's got a very high IQ, and he continues to get better within our system.
But, I mean, do you ever just stop while the game's going on and look at it like a fan?
I'm sure we've caught ourselves here or there. He's a pretty special guy. On both sides of it. I mean, there were talented players all over the field. But we'll try to remain as focused as possible.
So let's talk about some of the other performances that you got from your team, because I thought that there were a lot of great ones. Let's talk first about Emmett Cordray, who continues to have this huge senior year. And, one, he's just playing with so much confidence. And, two, he is – I mean, I think he is so much better than he was before.
He continues to get better. It's really impressive. You know, Emmett's put in the work year in and year out. And, you know, he's been a guy that has kind of backed up, you know, our 22. And, you know, that's a tough role to take where you're constantly just working and you're kind of backing up Sowers a little bit. And now we've really, you know, as he's just developed his poise with the ball in his stick and being able to dodge poles and dodge short sticks, he's really just brought some consistency to our offense and some true poise out there. And his senior leadership is great. You know, he plays with an extreme calmness, which is really nice to see. And he's really doing a nice job. He's helping others play well, and he's capitalizing on his opportunities. So we're very thrilled with his play.
I actually equate him to Gabriel Rush from the women's basketball team, who for 3 years never started a game, and then this year set the program record for three-pointers in a season. And it's sort of the same with him, that he never started a game. He was a contributor. He was always a good system guy and a good program guy and a guy you can count on. But he's taken a jump to being, you know, he's a real difference maker out there right now.
And there's no doubt. We're thrilled to have him on our side. We have been the whole time, but he's really stepping up for us. We're really proud of him.
And then Chris Brown, also 3 goals and an assist. You know, the stage wasn't too big for him, and I think he loses some attention that he would get because of Michael. The focus of the attention on the offense is Michael. The next person is always the person he's mostly feeding to. So it was Gavin McBride a couple years ago, or Phil Robertson now. But Chris Brown is very quietly putting together as good an early career as basically anybody except for Michael's ever had here. And he's done something that no other player has ever done here. He has at least one goal in all 21 games of his career to start his career. Nobody who started when freshmen were eligible has ever done that before.
No, he's doing a really nice job. Again, he really takes advantage of his opportunities. Big left-handed wing player for us, and he's kind of developing as more of a dodger feeder, and just, you know, developing as a threat from different parts of the field. Clean up some stick work stuff. He's going to be a heck of a player.
So let's talk about some of the guys on defense. We'll start with Andrew Song and Armand Midgalchi. So Armand had started he missed the first two games of his freshman year with injury and started every game since then up until the Yale game last weekend, and he's a junior, so that's a lot of games. Now Andrew Song drops down onto close defense, and Armand is playing long stick midfielder, but I thought he made a real impact on the game Tuesday night, and I thought Andrew Song also had a big game.
Yeah, Coach Hurst is doing a great job down that end, just kind of fine-tuning our personnel and our skill sets down there, and did a really nice job getting the matchups right and, you know, bumping Song down low and playing alongside of Armand and Bond, and it was a really nice look. And then we had Cherry, you know, take the primary pole runs and kind of filter a young guy, Luca Lazaretto, in there. So it was actually, you know, it was a very good game plan by Coach Hirsch. We're thrilled how the matchups worked out.
When you look at a kid like Armand and you have to say to him, okay, look, you're not going to be starting the way you've started every game since basically you got here, but we need you desperately to do this now. How does he respond to that?
Hey, these guys are incredible. I mean, none of them bat an eye. They're all here for the goal and for the program. So, you know, as much as he had started every game, I don't think, you know, he's not a guy to keep track of that. So,
and he made a real impact on that game.
I mean, he absolutely did. He made some really nice plays.
And so the last two guys I want to talk about, one is Luke Anderson, freshman, played a lot on the wings and a lot of short stick humidity. And again, he's a guy you notice.
Yeah, he's a physical presence out there. He's got some extreme edge to him. He sets the tone for us defensively. I mean, he is, you know, he gets up, he gets in your mix, and he kind of lets you know he's covering you. So we're really happy with him. He continues to get better every game as well.
And, of course, Michael had the 3 goals and the 3 assists. You know, other guys had some numbers. George Bond had the 5 caused turnovers. When I talked to Coach T after the game, he was like, 14 killed us. And 14 is Jake Stevens, and he had a stat line that only one other guy is going to ever have around here, and that's he had a goal, he had 3 caused turnovers, he had 9 ground balls. And he's, you know, you don't want to keep comparing him to Currier, and you wouldn't be comparing him to Currier if they both weren't Canadians and went to Culver. But, and he doesn't face off, and he's, you know, Currier scored 58 points as a senior, and he's not quite there yet. But, you know, that's a Currier-like effort.
It absolutely is. I mean, you know, Jake, our number 14, he's a great player. He's a heck of an offensive talent, and he's owning a program role for us right now. You know, as we scrap it up around the faceoff X, he's done a really nice job of taking advantage of those opportunities. Got a great knack to read our faceoff guy, opposing faceoff guys, and he's just kind of a bit of a vacuum around the X. So we're really thrilled for him. I mean, 9 ground balls, an impressive stat line. You know, he had a goal. He's even a little snake bitten this year. He could have had about 10 or 12 more over the course of the year. So
he had
hopefully,
the other one where Reddy made the unbelievable save on.
Absolutely, and hopefully those floodgates open for him as we get down the stretch here.
And some of the ground balls he picked up, you know, it's not like, I mean, you know, Currier was the kind of guy that, and still is, and he's even better at it now, but then when 6 guys go after the ball, you're shocked if Currier's not the one who comes out with it. And I think, you know, it's a little early to put that on Jake, although he's shown that. But what he did, you know, he is great at picking the ball up completely in stride so that he's, like, not raking the ball. He's not doing any of those things. And there were some yesterday where he picked the ball up, you know, almost like a defensive back intercepting a pass and just, like, going all the way down the sideline, like, untouched. Like, he just, in full stride, would pick up the ball, and all of a sudden, now you're going the other way.
He's got an incredible knack for it. I mean, he does it day in and day out. So, you know, we're thrilled to see it come on game day, but we get to watch that every day. Very impressive young man.
And so that's a great win. I know everybody was really happy about it, and you can't really hang on to it too long because now the challenge is Saturday. Brown coming here. Third Ivy League game, Princeton's 0-2. Brown is 1-0 in the league with a win over Harvard. That game up there in Providence last year was the difference between making the Ivy League tournament and not making the Ivy League tournament. Princeton losing 14-13 on a goal with 14.3 seconds to go. Same score as the game last night. And actually, there were 88 shots in the game up in Providence last year, 87 shots in the game last night. So very similar stats anyway. What is it now? What's the challenge? Because Brown also played a game this week. They played Monday instead of Tuesday, but it's two teams that are playing their third game in 8 days. Brown's playing 5 games in 15 days. What's the challenge here?
This is the second time we've done the 3-7. You know, you really have to be very aware of your bodies and your health and how quickly you prep. But in terms of turning the page, I think our guys kind of enjoyed the celebration on the field. Enjoyed it for a minute back in the locker room, but our captains, you know, Strib Walker and Michael Sowers, did a heck of a job of setting the tone and flipping the script quickly. I think our focus is right back to Ivy League play, and it's on to Brown, and it's the most important one because it's the next one. But staff, program, everyone, turn page, on to the next. Need to start preparing, get ready for this weekend.
So the game last year, that was the when with that loss, Prince went to 0-3 and was 3-5, and then won out from there. But finished in a 3-way tie for third place in the Ivy League with Penn and Brown, and could not get into the Ivy tournament because of the tiebreaker. So a lot rides on this game. Obviously, Brown is a different animal than most of the teams that you play. Maybe similar to Virginia, but maybe even more extreme than Virginia. They want to push the ball. They want to play fast. They don't worry about turning it over as much as they worry about constantly pressuring you. How do you go from you know, playing a team that's a little more close to the vest to a team that's going to just want to run and gun, and it's maybe a style that's suited to the way you want to play too.
Sure, we'll kind of draw back on our experience from the year, whether it be playing Virginia or Hopkins in transition, or you know, and just try to, and then understanding, you know, the different game plans at Denver and where to take advantage of the different parts of the game. But for us, you know, Brown is just that. You know, they're a very athletic team. They're very dynamic. They're also a team that historically has been able to go on runs. So for us, it's just, again, make it about us, settle into our game plan, and hope to do the best to execute.
And it's a team that, you know, Brown came very close to winning a national championship a couple of years ago. And look, to me, if Dylan Malloy didn't get hurt in the whatever round that was against Hopkins, I guess the first round against Hopkins, I have no doubt Brown steamrolls everybody and gets the championship that year. Some pieces still left from that, I believe. This would be the fourth year. Like, you know, the guys who were seniors, I think, were part of that program, and they've really turned their roster over. But it's a deep team. It's a very good team. And it's a team with a goalie who has made about a million saves against Princeton in his career.
Yeah, Phil Goss is excellent between the pipes. And you're right. I mean, that run that they made with that Dylan Malloy, I mean, that was one of the best college teams I've seen in the past decade. It was a shame he wasn't able to stay healthy through it. But very good, very good program. We expect to see their best this Saturday.
So what is the, you know, you have the big win Tuesday. Do you take momentum from that, or is that something people just talk about?
You know, I mentioned it earlier. I think that, you know, momentum is a very real thing. I think for us, our guys can now kind of understand that they can play great, you know, and they're not great, but they can play great, and they have the ability to be great. So I think that if we can continue to play great and put string plays together, put a full 60 together, then, you know, we can continue to move forward.
So it's Princeton-Brown. It's a single game on Saturday, 1 o'clock face-off on Sherrod Field, third home game in 8 days, I guess, if you want to go Saturday to Saturday. And then after that, it's the trip to Stony Brook. So stepping out of league for a game at Stony Brook and then home against Siena before finishing up with Dartmouth, Harvard, Cornell. A lot of lacrosse to go. Still the goal of getting into the Ivy tournament, the NCAA tournament, very much in play. We will be back in a week to talk about the Brown game and to look ahead to Stony Brook. But, Coach, once again, congratulations on that win last night. Tremendous effort for the team and the program. And, you know, I thought it was, and I wrote this a couple of times, is that to me it was a very Bill Tierney-like effort of, you know, play hard, play tough, you know, play well when you can, but when you can't, just tough it out. And I think that's what you guys did.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So congratulations, Coach Madelon. Thanks for being with us. And for Coach Madelon, I want to thank everybody who listens to us each week. Thank you for joining us here on the Princeton Laxcast, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Men's Lacrosse.